Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I'm Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Fishcake Delaney. So what? I say that because my mum texted me this morning and just wrote in capital letters, "Oi, fishcake." Right. And I was like, what the fuck's this? And she's like, oh, I'm just lying here in bed listening to you talk about that story where you got called fishcake. It's the funniest thing I've ever heard. Rod can't understand what I'm pissing myself about. I mean, he's not a man overly blessed with a sense of humour, or at least he's got a different sense of humour. So I just picture this elderly couple lying in bed with her fucking headphones on at 8 a.m. listening to a really old episode of Top Flight Time Machine, which I didn't I didn't know she did. Maybe she's catching up or something. I don't know. I know she's listened to the odd one, but I didn't know. And 8 a.m., she's listening to the fishcake story, the fishcake genesis story.
Was she aware of it at all? Was it any completely new thing?
Don't know. Yeah, I might have mentioned that I'd been like the victim of chip shop bullying.
Mother, the big boys bullied me in the chip shop again. Well, again. You must stand up to them.
Maybe you should order some proper food.
They're only jealous
of your fish cake.
They're jealous because their mothers wouldn't stretch to a fish cake for them. They probably just asked for scraps of batter.
And 35 years later, here we are. She's texting you first thing in the morning. Oi, fish cake!
Yeah, pissing us about. No sympathy at all, by the way.
Mm. Oh, well. Yeah. Lots going on. Did you watch the Ant documentary that was on BBC Two on Saturday night?
No, I wanted to watch it after you gave me the tip-off. I wanted to watch it with Len yesterday, but I couldn't find it on the iPlayer. Was it an Attenborough?
Oh, right.
Was it Attenborough on Ants?
Yeah, I can't remember what it was called. Attenborough's Mental World of Ants, I think it was called.
It's David Attenborough's Mental World of Ants.
Ants, look at them. Ants, look at them sucking each other off. Sexy bastards. It came under the Natural World series.
Right.
So it might be under Natural World if you want to search for it.
Okay,
I'll look it up.
And the whole episode's just about ants.
It's about these fucking wood ants in the Swiss mountains.
Right.
And they've got what's called a super colony made up of various anthills.
Is it like a cult? Is one of the ants sort of established a cult or something?
Sort of, but there's all sorts of mind games going on as well. And there's different behaviours that occur to do with, you know, the little scents that they give off.
Oh, yeah.
And all that sort of thing. I'll just give you a few little nuggets of what happened. At one point, you've got ants nicking resin from trees.
Yeah.
And this is resin that trees generate themselves in order to heal wounds.
Yeah, yeah.
On trees. So, you know, trees are self-healing.
Yeah.
The ants come along, nick this resin, take it back to the super colony.
We'll have that,
Tom. And they mix... We'll have that in the... We'll have that for the fucking super colony. Oi, John, come and give us a hand with this bit of resin.
It's like nicking tiles off of people's roofs.
It's like going through people's skips.
Yeah.
It's sticking stuff, yeah. So they take it back to the super colony and they mix it with their own acid and it makes antibiotics for ants.
Well, fucking turn that into some antibiotics.
It's fucking nuts.
That is really mad.
You've got these two huge colonies as part of the super colony.
Yeah.
And they're like enemies. And the start of each year, they hibernate for like 3 months over the winter, because why not?
Yeah.
By the way, I keep thinking about this. The idea of hibernation does my head in. Mm. The idea that animals can just go to sleep for like 4 months.
Well,
I'm not having a piss. I'm not having a shit.
That's it.
Nothing. I'm just fucking out for the count.
Well, it's like four months. Song that we wrote. Shut my body down. That's what they do.
Shut my body down. Yeah.
That's the ants are well into it. I mean, to be honest, the more you talk about the ants, the more I think the ants have fucking got it right.
Yeah. Well, I think the ants are probably going to take us over eventually.
Good.
So they wake up after 4 months hibernation. And then they've got to kind of stake their territory again. So there's this no man's land in between where these two huge ants' nests are. Mm. And they sort of size each other up. And then they have a big war in the middle of this fucking no man's land. So they're fighting over it. And then you see them dragging the bodies of their enemies back to the colony to feast on them. So they're fighting each other. They're killing these other ants eating the cunts.
At Christmas, do they have a sort of a ceasefire?
Yeah, they're a game of football. They listen to Pipes of Peace by Paul McCartney.
No, it should be All Together Now by The Farm.
Yeah.
By a friend of the show, Peter Hooton, would have got some money out of that if fucking Attenborough had thought to play that in on the documentary.
Yeah. What else? In May, as they get into spring, some cows appeared in the area where they lived, and the cows were going to eat the colonies and eat all the ants. What they do is the ants all get together and they spray acid. The acid that they make the antibiotics with, they spray acid at these cows, and they spray acid up the cow's nose, and the cows are all like, "Oh,
fuck it out!
Acid up me nose!"
Who's done that? It's me, con. It's me, Mr. Ant.
John Ant.
You didn't see me coming. That's the thing about us ants. We're fucking tiny. Go under the radar,
So the cows then fuck
off. So do they crawl up their body onto their face, basically?
No, they squirted from on top of the colony. It squirts through the air.
Fucking hell.
Cows' noses.
Good aim.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's just a couple of bits about it. It's on iPlayer. It's Natural World. Attenborough's Mental World of Ants. And it is fucking great.
I'll look it out. I did try and look it out yesterday, but I'll look it up again today.
But I mean, the best thing about the invention of the HD camera has got to be nature documentaries.
Yeah,
because it's just like you're there now.
You're down in ant level.
And they had that little bit at the end where they show you kind of how they were made.
When they did Planet Earth, that was the best bit.
Well, do you know why they do that?
Why?
Do you know why they have that bit at the end?
Yeah.
It's because when they sell it abroad, they sell it to countries where there's commercials that go in. So your 50 minutes turns into an hour. So the America or whatever doesn't get the 10 minutes at the end that we have. No, they don't get that. They just get the first chunk.
Do you think when they sell it abroad, they get someone else to do Attenborough's voice? They get like an American voiceover?
Fucking better not.
Like Rodney
Tim Allen or someone
Rodney
like that.
Rodney Dangerfield or someone.
The late Rodney
Look at these ants. I gotta tell you, these ants, they get no respect. Look at them. What's this now? They're stealing sap from a tree? What is this, resin? Oh, jeez.
Who knew you had such a fucking fantastic Rodney Dangerfield impersonation up your sleeve, Sam?
I didn't until I just did it.
Who knew?
I don't get no respect.
There's a brilliant Rodney Dangerfield story on an episode of Gilbert Gottfried's podcast where he interviews Chevy Chase, and the episode itself is absolute gold. I thoroughly recommend it. Gilbert Gottfried, he's that American guy, and he talks like this, and he's got a really annoying voice.
Was he the guy who was in... He wasn't the guy who was in one of the Lethal Weapon movies. Is he from the 80s? Yeah.
Yes.
What if I were to put some money here and then I turn my back for a moment and then, oh, it's gone. I don't know where that money is. Or was it Beverly Hills Cop?
I'm sure that's him.
Yeah.
It's one of them. But he does some great podcasts with loads and loads of Hollywood actors and celebrities and that. But the fucking Chevy Chase one is brilliant, because Chevy Chase, at the stage of his life that he is now, 70-something, does not give a fuck
about
anything or anyone, and why should he? He's got a reputation as being a cunt. He doesn't care. Yeah. In this interview with Gilbert
Brothers,
he doesn't come across as a cunt in it. He's just really funny. And he's got loads of anecdotes, but there's a really good Rodney Dangerfield one in, but I can't remember it, so I'm not going to repeat it here. But check that out.
I'll
tweet the link out later on.
I'll definitely have a listen to that. That sounds brilliant.
So that's the Ant documentary.
Okay,
that's
I've seen it ages ago when Len was a bit too young, but I decided one day to look up extreme ant sort of footage on YouTube. And then, like,
extreme ant footage.
It scared him, and Anna was like, you shouldn't be showing him extreme ants. But there are these, it's where you see like a bunch of African ants, like a gang of them, a mob, and they're like big. And they just fucking swarm over a creature that's sleeping, like a goat or something.
Yeah.
And they just fucking devour the cunt in seconds. It's a carcass.
They're fucking insane. Yeah. They really are.
Don't fuck it's with brilliant. Ants, is basically what we're saying. So the other thing that came up over the weekend was, I think it was it last Christmas or the Christmas before that we became really preoccupied with Krampus, the Christmas baddie, the nemesis of Santa
Christmas.
Claus.
Yeah. I think it was last Christmas.
So we didn't, I mean, I personally, I don't think I knew anything about Krampus. I don't think I'd heard of the cunt until he came up last year somehow. And then before we knew it.
That was nothing else you can think about.
I couldn't think of it. It almost ruined Christmas for me because I was so terrified. But in case you weren't listening last year, Krampus is the Christmas baddie that it seems to exist in every other European country other than here in the UK.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe Queen Victoria had him banned or something during the Empire days. But he's basically the antithesis of Santa.
They should reintroduce him for this Christmas, for the COVID Christmas.
Yeah.
Because it feels a bit more fitting than Santa Claus, doesn't it?
Yeah, except in some countries they really don't hold back. I mean, they're like, this cunt, they tell their kids, if you're good, Santa will bring you a present. If you're not good, it's not just a case of Santa won't bring you a present. It's worse than that. Not only will Santa not bring you a present, Krampus will come and he'll fucking eat you.
Yeah.
You'll end up, you'll spend Christmas in the guts of Krampus.
Krampus
who is
guts.
A giant satanic fucking beast, right? Anyway, we did a lot on that and we learned a huge amount about Krampus last year. Well, this year, I don't know how my good wife came across this. She hasn't explained it. She just, without comment, sent me a link from Wikipedia. Like, oh, fuck it, what's this? I'll get round to that. Right. And then eventually, in a moment of boredom, I clicked on it. Well, the title of the paper is Icelandic Christmas Folklore. I thought, interesting.
Well, she's a good wife. You should have clicked on this straight away.
I know, but I don't know. It's the way she hadn't left a comment. It was sort of mysterious. But I suppose that's the secret of a marriage
was
staying
there even
fresh.
Was there even a subject in the email? A subject?
No,
title?
No, it was a
nothing.
WhatsApp.
Just blank.
It was a WhatsApp.
Oh, it was a WhatsApp. All right.
Look at this, cunt. Right. Icelandic Christmas folklore depicts mountain-dwelling characters and monsters who come to town during Christmas.
Wee.
So I'm thinking at first, who's this? Fucking Krampus again? Been there, done that?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, last year.
I'll tell you, this is not Krampus. The stories are directed at children and are used to scare them into good behaviour.
Good.
Something we really don't go in for anymore with this snowflake generation here in the UK, do we?
We do not, no.
The folklore includes both mischievous pranksters. Now I'm fucking listening. Because if there's one thing we love, it's mischievous pranksters. Who leave gifts during the night, and monsters who eat disobedient children. So more child eating.
Whoa,
here.
Hang on. What?
Yeah.
We've had mischievous pranksters, and what was that last bit?
Monsters who eat disobedient children.
Fucking hell. All right.
Yeah. The figures are depicted as living together.
You just said that as if that's a matter of fact.
Yeah, because Krampus is said to eat children, but these cunts...
I know, but even so, as a reminder of that, it's
extreme, but it gets madder. Here are the people involved, right? This little mob in Iceland who make it their business to fuck with people's Christmas. The figures are depicted as living together as a family in a cave...
Good.
And include Grilla, a giantess. That means a lady giant.
A giantess. Wow.
With an appetite for the flesh of mischievous children, who she cooks in a large pot. Of course, in a large pot.
Jesus Christ.
Not in a fucking microwave. Her husband, Lepaludi, is a lazy, is lazy and he mostly stays at home in their cave. I'm staying home. Where are you going? Yeah. I'm going out catching kids to kick it, cooking me pot. Are you coming, Joel? No, I can't be asked.
The fucking racing's on ITV4 this afternoon. I've got to stop in and watch that.
I've got, you know, my back's playing up. Right, this
I've got some Fosters in. I've got to just drink me Fosters and watch the racing.
These are the bosses. You do it. So those are the two, Gorilla and Leopoldi. But then they've got the Yule Cat. Is a huge and vicious cat. Bit like Fat Black Cat by the sounds of things. Yule Cat is a huge and vicious cat who lurks about the snowy countryside during Christmas time and eats people who have not received any new clothes to wear before Christmas Eve.
What?
Is there a fucking match in it?
That's what about people who can't afford new clothes?
I know.
That's not fair.
Doesn't care. No excuse, cunt. You're getting eight.
Look, you've had 12 months warning. You've had 12 months to save up. All you got to do is get a new T-shirt and a pair of shorts.
You can do it with that Klarna thing now. Have you seen it? Check out on a lot of websites. They use this system, Klarna, where you can pay.
Spread the payments.
Spread it. Monthly instalments.
Order in January. Spread it over 10 months. I won't eat you.
I got a new collar, right? I have paid £3 a month for the last 6 months, right? It were an £18 collar. Good quality collar. I wouldn't have afforded a collar that good if I'd had to pay in one go. So it's just about planning, really. Especially when the stakes are that high, because you know I'm going to eat you if I catch you in old clothes. Right, this is the best bit, though. That's the cat, Yule Cat. This is the best bit. The Yule Lads. That's genuinely what they're called. The Yule Lads are the sons of Gorilla and Leopoldi. They're a group of 13 mischievous pranksters who steal harass the population. And all have descriptive names that convey their favourite way of harassing. Yeah, we've all got our favourite way of harassing, see? We've all got different specialisms in terms of our harassment.
Did you know there's 13 methods of harassment? Well, there fucking is, and we're here to tell you about it.
They come to town one by one during the last 13 nights before Christmas. God. They leave small gifts in shoes that children have placed on windowsills. What the fuck's going on in Iceland, man? If the child has been disobedient, they instead... You ready for this?
Yeah.
Leave a potato in the shoe. And that cunt...
This is amazing.
Surprise, surprise. Amazing. It's a fucking potato.
I've heard you've been a bit of a cunt, so here's a potato.
These Christmas-related folk tales, blah, blah, blah. Right, I won't go through all of it, but what I can do is tell you the names of the Yule Lads.
Oh, please do.
I won't try and read the Icelandic names, but I've got an English translation of each of their names. Now, there's 13, and on each night, a different one comes to town. On the first night, Sheepcoat Clod comes. He harasses sheep. But he is impaired by his stiff peg legs. All right.
Come here, you fucking sheep. Come here. Oh, these fucking peg legs. I can't get after them.
It's embarrassing. It's humiliating. Outrun by a fucking sheep. It's not like I've been outrun by a fucking leopard.
Why can't I harass tortoises instead? I can catch them, no problem.
Not fair. You don't got peg legs that are particularly stiff. The next night, after he's done that, down comes Gully Gork. He hides in gullies, waiting for an opportunity to sneak into the cow shed and steal milk.
Is he milking the cows himself?
Yeah, I guess so. He runs in the cow shed when no one's about and fucking, I'll have that can I just, out of your fucking milky tits. I'm having
that. Can I just add, there's one thing I remember from the Ant documentary, which... is relevant. There is footage of ants milking aphids with their little antennae.
Didn't know we could do this, did you, cunt? We can.
Oh, it's great. Carry on.
On the 14th of December, your lad is stubby. He's abnormally short. He steals pans to eat the crust left on them.
Abnormally short.
He's short. Like, how short is he? He's abnormally short, put it that way. All right.
You could put him in a shoe. I'll say that much.
He can barely fucking lift the potato to put in the show. He's that small. Right.
Obviously, his legs are stiff as well.
On the 15th of December, it's Spoon Liquor. Some of these are starting to sound like sort of house DJs. Do you know what I mean? Electronic dance spoon music liquor. Super
yeah.
DJs.
Yeah.
Spoon Liquor, he steals and licks wooden spoons, is extremely thin due to malnutrition. He's that fucking thin, because all he does is lick spoons. There's not enough nutrition on a spoon. Mainly just batter. It's all he lives on. Then you've got Pot Scraper, steals leftovers from pots.
Plenty going on there.
Then you've got Bowl Licker.
Pass someone to Spoon Licker.
And it's also similar to Stubby, who nicks pans and eats crusts. But they're really like, they claim there's 13 different types of harassment, but really, it's just loads of variations on nicking food.
It's just kitchen theft.
Yeah. Then you've got Bowl Licker, hides under beds waiting for someone to put down their bowl. It's a type of bowl with a lid on it. He then steals it. Door Slammer, likes to slam doors, especially during the night, waking people up. Skyr Gobbler, a Yule lad with a great affinity for Skyr, which is similar to yogurt.
Yeah, you can get that in the north now, Skyr yogurt.
Well, you're quite the Scandinavian. I mean, you're very much the Scandinavians of the UK, aren't you? Because you're just across the water.
Post-Brexit, we'll get most of our food shipped in, I think.
You can probably see the camps from where you are, over there.
Yeah, if I'll get up on the roof later on, have a look.
All right, cons!
Send us some Skyr over!
Sausage Swiper. Hides in the rafters, snatches sausages that are being smoked. Window peeper, snoop who looks through windows, in search of things to steal. Yeah, and tits, probably. Doorway sniffer, has an abnormally large nose and an acute sense of smell, which he uses to locate leaf bread. This is my favourite one. This is on the 23rd. Meat hook. And the description just says, he uses a hook to steal meat. Simple. See this hook? I use that to steal meat. That's it. That is how I operate. That defines me as a man.
I'm not stealing anything else with it. I'm not stealing clothes, magazines, nothing else. Just meat.
I've got other hooks for that, but I rarely use them because I'm mainly in the meat game.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tits.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Jalapeño.
Lastly, on the 24th of December, which of course to our European cousins is basically their Christmas Day, isn't it? I don't even know what they do on Christmas Day.
Is it?
All over Europe, everywhere. Their big day is the 24th. I've, I haven't got a fucking clue what they do on Christmas Day. Right. They all
sleep it off.
Christmas Eve, which I suppose makes the 23rd of December their Christmas Eve. I don't know. It's weird, isn't it? Anyway, Candle Stealer follows children.
Candle Stealer.
He's the main one on the 24th. He follows children in order to steal their candles, which were once made of tallow and thus edible. Edible fucking candle. Wow. I'll have that off you.
Wow. I mean, fuck me. Britain is doing Christmas so wrong, isn't it?
So
we've just
shit.
Got no idea.
Where's
have
our
we?
Mythology? All we've got is Santa. That's all. And fucking Rudolph.
It's pathetic.
Yeah.
It really is.
Some countries do Christmas. Some countries are inherently Christmassy. Sweden's one of them. All of the Scandinavian countries. And, of course, Germany. But I don't know. Yeah. I think that our Christmas game... I mean, when you think of British Christmas, what do you think of? You think of Argos, don't you?
Pretty much.
And just Brazil's. B&M.
I've been up to B&M this morning trying to get an advent calendar for me kid. Because I forgot.
Mate, you've left it too late. I'm sorry, this is not classic Dawson logistics.
It's not, is it? I'm only 12 now, he's nearly 13, and I thought, well, he must have grown out of advent calendars by now.
What
he never
talking
asked
about?
For
we
one.
Were only talking about the Sunderland shitter last week. He was about 18, 19, and he had two fucking advent calendars, one from his nan and one from his boss.
Yeah, but what was his mental age, Sam?
True. Good point.
So, if you're trying to get an advent calendar today, you've fucking got no chance. B&M have got Dairy Milk ones, and I couldn't see any anywhere else. I was at Sainsbury's, Morrison's, Aldi, Lidl, B&M.
Well, I've out... two for, Dairy Milk for, ones. It's a rare case of me out-logisticking you. Because I had mine in the bag about 2 weeks ago. Because I've had my fingers burnt too many times. You miss out on the best ones. Sometimes you don't get any at all. And certainly, if there's a really good one knocking about, you know, like
I mean,
Star Wars Lego one, for example, or something like that.
Yeah, but that's the thing. That's the thing. His mum bought him one of these ones that's got various sort of smellies in it. Deodorants and aftershaves and all this sort of thing. But there's only 12. You get one every 2 days because they're a decent size. Yeah. You don't get 24. And he's not happy because he wants something every day.
Yeah.
So I had a conversation about, you know, what kind do you want? And he was like, yeah, I don't know. I'll have a think about it. Didn't get back to me.
Each day a different fact.
Yeah. Yeah.
John Player Special, Rothmans, B&H. Now, John Player Special would be on the 24th because you've got to have your prize bag.
Of course it would. You've seen the cheese advent calendars? Have you had one of them before?
I've seen them. Never had it, no.
The Ilchester cheese calendar. When do you eat that? First thing in the morning when you get up?
You've got to keep them refrigerated. You don't want them hanging out
on the
mantelpiece.
The fridge.
Yeah.
What?
It's fucking
it's
mad.
All wrong.
You wouldn't get that in Iceland.
But yeah, we do Christmas wrong here.
I got the same situation with my advents, though, because I got... And it's second year running this has happened. So I got my son the football cards one. I've forgotten what they're called now.
Match Attacks.
Yeah, Match Attacks one.
Match Attacks.
And my daughter, I got a beauty one from, like, Superdrug, But it's the second year I've done it. I didn't check. I thought, that's a nice price, that. I'm going to fucking get that. That's not bad. Considering you get proper things in there, like nail varnish and that, I'll fucking have that. Bought it online. Turns out, same situation, mate. It's only 12. Such a fucking rip-off. You get it, and then you just realise, fucking hell, it's only 12 days. So then he's got a 24-dayer, she's got a 12-day, it's not fair. So what we've done
That's
is...
exactly the same problem we've got
we're,
here, yeah.
We're
yeah.
making, me and my good wife, today, after I finish recording this, we're going to make the first 12 days, and it'll just have, like, weird shit in it, like a hairband or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like, cheap
or free
similar. Stuff.
Yeah. I was going to get one of them ones you can just buy and they've got the little 24 pockets in and you put stuff in yourself.
Oh, you can do your
and
own
I was
one.
Just going to put a quid in each one.
That's brilliant. That's a great idea.
Have a quid.
Yeah, but hang on a minute. 24 quid is probably more than you'd spend on an advent calendar.
Yeah, but it's Christmas. No, hang on though. Those big advent calendars, they do cost a lot of money, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a Star Wars Lego one. Minimum. It actually gets a little bit cheaper as they get older, generally. Because I've got in the past, like, Star Wars Lego and stuff like that, and you can go fucking sky high, the prices you
pay. Exactly,
paid.
But he's nearly 13 and he's beyond that. He's beyond the Match Attacks ones.
Yeah.
He's beyond Star Wars Lego. Oh, by the way, we finally got around to start watching The Mandalorian this weekend. Oh, that's good, isn't
fucking
it?
Fucking good. What, you just started on series one of it?
Yeah, I tried to get him into it when it first came out, and he was like, that looks shit. And then he's discovered it of his own accord. Thinks it's the best thing since sliced bread. So now we're
really
having to watch
good.
All of them.
I'm into series two now, and it's, it's fucking good. It's one That's of the best fantastic. Star Wars things there's been. But yeah. Not everyone likes it, but I fucking love, me and Len love it.
They're not, like, fuck them.
Yeah, but I think it's one of the best Star Wars things out there.
Right, anyway. Predictions update?
Yep.
You got... we should add that Wolves Southampton was played last Monday after the weekend's update, and we both got 3 points for that because it finished 1-1.
Wow.
So that's a little update. And then this weekend, Results Bot got nothing. I got 1 point. You got 4 points, Sam.
Whoa, did I get a correct score?
You correctly predicted Sunderland drawing 1-1 at Fleetwood.
I did not predict Bill Parkinson getting sacked after the game, though.
I didn't predict it either, but I'm delighted about it.
So what's next? Are you going to wait until the takeover is completed until you appoint a new manager?
I haven't got a clue, because the takeover's not really a takeover, because they're bringing in this 23-year-old alleged billionaire.
Yeah. He's a rich bloke's son, I think, isn't he?
Is it rich bloke's son? The bloke's dead now, but it's his son and heir. But a lot of his money's held in a trust, which his mum's got the keys to. So I don't know how much money he's really got.
Mum, I need to get access to some of that money Dad left us. Well, all right, what's it for? It doesn't matter, but it's just important. What is it for? I've got a right to know. Your dad said he didn't want you just spending it on fucking silly things. I want to buy Sunderland Football Club. You fucking
no.
What? No way. It's my money, you bitch. No, I'm sorry.
I can have all of it when I'm 25. That's what says in the thing.
Yeah.
Just give it now.
I'll wait 2 years and I'll buy a fucking Sunderland then.
It'll not be on sale in 2 years. Someone else will have bought it.
Oh, it'll be more expensive because COVID will be over. I'm getting it cheap COVID price, aren't I?
No, but this kid's come in. One of the three fellows who currently owns the club is a fellow called Juan Sartori, who's a Uruguayan senator.
Surely he's from Star the Leniverse.
Yeah, Juan Sartori. And apparently he got 20% of the club for £1.
Fucking hell.
When it was bought up a couple of years ago. So he's brought in this fella, who's this 23-year-old billionaire who he knows, apparently, who's his mate. The other two cunts, who you'll have seen in Sunderland Till I Die, Stuart Donald and Charlie Methven, I'll say that again, cunts. They're still going to have a say. The Methven's going to keep his 6%. Donald will have 15%. And weirdly, the 59%, I think it is, that this billionaire kid is going to be buying up, works out at about almost exactly the same as the 20 million that Stuart Donald took from the parachute payments in order to fund the purchase of the club 2 years ago, which still hasn't been paid back.
How did he manage that? You get a parachute payment from the Premier League.
Yeah, he just took them. He said, I'll have that. Use that towards the buying the club, and then I'll pay it back eventually.
So what, he was a director, he took that money?
No, it was part of his deal to buy the club.
Right.
It was almost as if he took that money as a loan from the club.
He borrowed it
buying.
Off the club in order to buy the club.
To buy the club, yeah.
Fucking hell.
And he hasn't paid it back. I think he's paid a bit of it back. But if I'd be stunned if anything changes. They're rearranging the fucking chairs on the deck of the Titanic. I don't think this kid's got any money. We might get lucky and bring in a decent manager, but it'll be by luck rather than design.
What the fuck is going on with a stadium like that? Why? I don't understand it. Why people don't fucking... I don't know. Maybe football's just not what we think. Maybe it's just like... I mean, you know, if you listen to people like Alan Sugar or Simon Jordan, they go, look, unless you've got silly money like Abramovich or the lads who own City, you basically... It's a mug's game. You can't...
Yeah.
You can't, because the thing is, you can't run it like a, you can't run it according to the rules and principles of business, because there's a wild card.
It's fantasy land, isn't it?
There's wild card because there's fans, there's the media, the fans are really the wild card. Do you know what I mean? And also they can't, the thing is, they can't be run like businesses because they're not, they're like cultural institutions, they're social institutions, you know? Yeah, you can't run it.
But the thing about Sunderland is, it's the best opportunity I can see for anybody who wants to invest in football now, because we're in League One, so you get the club for next to nothing. It doesn't cost you a great deal to get out of League One if you do it smartly. There's a 47,000 stadium there, which you can fill pretty easily.
Stadium of Light, I remember when it was first built, it was regarded as the state-of-the-art fucking stadium. It wasn't that long
ago. Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah, 21 years ago, 23 years ago. Yeah, and all you got to do is get some results going, and you fill it. We got 41,000 in on Christmas Day 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Not Christmas Day, Boxing Day, because they did a campaign and said, you know, let's try and break the record for the most fans on Boxing Day, or for most fans in the third tier. And we got 41,000 in. And
these rich foreigners, really they all easily. Want to buy a club in either London or Manchester.
Yeah, that's it. They don't want to put the graft in either.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll see. But as long as Stuart Donald and Charlie Methven, the cunts, are still involved, I've got no interest, because it's just a fucking, it's a sham.
It's a shit show.
It's an absolute sham. It's a fucking shit show, yeah. So, well, we'll see who we get next. They might surprise us by getting someone decent. But they do everything on the cheap, so they probably won't. They might ask me to do it.
Get fucking Kevin Phillips. Oh, asking, speaking of roles for you and me, public roles, have you read in the paper today about how the government are going to enlist trustworthy celebrities to encourage the public to take the vaccine?
Get the vaccine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
NHS to enlist celebrities to persuade people to take coronavirus vaccine. They plan to enlist celebrities and influencers. Well, with big social media followings. Well, in a major campaign to persuade people to have a COVID vaccine. They're drawing up a list of, and this is what made me think of us, very sensible, famous faces, right?
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking? I was thinking, if they don't actually ask us personally to do it, they should hire us on one of those $6,000 a day consultancy gigs to help them identify who the right celebrities are.
Yeah.
Think of it, right? Who better than you and I? We keep a fucking keen eye on the celebrity world, right?
Our contacts books are full of sensible celebrities.
We're well connected. Everyone knows Mick Talbot. I had lunch with Kylie Minogue once.
Stan here.
Right. Stan Hay, Mick Talbot. These are the... But I was thinking, well, if they do ask us, and obviously all I would say, Andy, is keep your phone line clear all day, because I wouldn't want us to miss the call. I'm keeping mine clear, right?
Okay.
It's fucking easy, because obviously we're not going to want to put a lot of graft into it. So I was thinking what we should do is, we were only talking last week about that Whisper ad campaign from the 80s. Just whoever's still alive from that, just use them.
From that.
They've already just done the fucking work research back then.
Yeah. It still stands, doesn't it?
Unfortunately, I think it's the original guy, Simon, what's his name, from Heidi High, dead.
Simon Cadell, he's dead, long dead.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Ruth Maddock?
Still alive.
Good. Mel Smith, dead. Peter Cook, dead. Who else did we have? Arthur Daly, dead. Waterman, dead. Alive.
As far as I know, Waterman and Lenska, yeah.
But can we get them back together? Because they had a messy breakup.
They did. They have to do it in separate rooms anyway, I suppose.
And
they?
In the adverts, what I want is Dennis Waterman and Ruth Maddock to literally be injecting themselves with a big...
each other.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll have...
I could be so good for you. Cue you like you want me to.
Right. And... But what we'll do is, because if we direct the ads, which is what I'm going to make a deal breaker when they call us up, yeah, we'll pick your celebrities, but we also want to write and direct the ads and choose the music and all. And we want merchandising rights, right? Because what you want to do, Andy, you don't want an actual real syringe like they'll do it at the doctors. You want not a comedy one, but one you would use in a film.
An oversized.
A big one that says COVID cure on it. Yeah.
Yeah. The syringe let's say the Looney Tunes syringe.
Yeah.
Or the syringe equivalent of one of those big charity checks.
Yeah. And what we want is Waterman giving a right good fucking ram into the butt cheek of Maddox.
Oh!
Hey! As he goes, woo! I feel better already.
But her arse will have to be pixelated for, you know, legal reasons.
Yeah,
and stuff like
especially
that.
If it's before night, because you don't want the kiddie seeing it.
Watershed.
And she goes, oh, I feel right as rain. Ding, ding,
oh,
ding.
That's just what I needed.
Morning, campers. That's it.
Yeah.
Job done.
Yeah,
£6,000
that.
A day. That's what their mates are getting charged. That's what their mates are invoicing for, aren't they? For all
we'll
the PPE stuff.
Yeah, we'll take £3,000 a day from the fellas who are getting £6,000 a day if they want.
Yeah, we'll take this off your plate, and we know what we're doing in this sort of world.
You keep £3,000. Yeah. We'll take the rest. Yeah, we ran out of time, Sam, but very quickly, John Arsene Wenger.
Yeah, really good. I'd recommend watching it back. It was chaired by Dylan Jones, who's the editor of GQ. But what was funny is that Elton just sort of took over. And I don't think Dylan Jones seemed to really mind, because obviously it was more interest. As he said, look, because he kept asking, like, he was so passionate, Elton John, right? Mm. He was so enthusiastic and sort of humble, because he only wanted to, like, ask Arsene Wenger questions. You really got a sense of his massive passion for football, like authentic passion for football, not like, you know, I suppose the nutter put fucking millions of his own money into Watford, so it kind of just been like a whimsical thing. But he absolutely is obsessed, really fucking knowledgeable of the game, right? And just wanted to fucking, and every once in a while he'd just go, anyway, Dylan, do you want to ask something? I'm sort of taking over here. And then Dylan Jones would sort of ask a question, and then Elton would just jump back in. So basically it was just Elton John, fucking fanboy, stanning, as they say, Arsene Wenger.
Yeah.
And it was fucking brilliant. And Arsene Wenger obviously loved it. It's just, it's really enjoyable. There wasn't much comedy to mine from it or anything like that, because it was just, you just got a sense of these are two really interesting blokes. Very likeable, very intelligent. But as always with Elton John, what's brilliant is he's a bloke. He sat there. He loves football, right? He loves talking about football. He loves Arsene Wenger. He's intelligent. He's amusing. And you sort of think, good bloke. But he sat there. Dylan Jones is in a suit. Arsene Wenger's in some, like, sort of expensive casuals. And Elton John is there in a big fucking syrup. And some massive fucking red sunglasses and some sort of brocade coat. And you just...
I'm looking at him now.
In the book, right? As in the book, what's brilliant about Elton John, why I love him so much, right, is that he is fully aware of how fucking stupid and mad that is.
Yeah.
Like, he makes reference to it. He's like, fucking hell. Because he's just like...
I'm Elton John.
He's a fucking... he's a working class lad from fucking Pinner. Do you know what I mean? He's just sort of like, I mean, he's fucking mad, isn't it? I mean, look at this get-up. What's going on here?
I'm looking at it now because you can still get it. It's on hearfestival.com.
Yeah.
Search on there. I don't know how long it's on for. It might not be permanently, but I'm looking at it now. He's got like a candelabra lighting thing on the wall. There's a big frame portrait of some cunt behind him on the wall. Loads of like teapots. There's a teapot in the shape of a swan by the looks
Lovely.
Of it.
Yeah.
And some, you know.
But the funny
posh
thing about
stuff.
That room he's sitting in, right? At one point, he goes on about Graham Taylor loads, right? Because he fucking loves Graham Taylor, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And he's like, I actually sat here in this room. He went, it's so funny because it's like watching Football Focus, but it's Elton John dressed like that. And he goes, I mean, I said to my directors, who's the best young manager in the whole of English football? And they said, there's a bloke at Lincoln called Graham Taylor. He went, right, I'm going to get him. We're in the fourth division. He'd already been offered a contract by West Brom in the first division. He went, so I got him here. And I sat with Graham in this room I'm sat in now, right? And you can see Arsene Wenger's face like, really? Fucking hell. I can't picture it, to be honest. I sat here and I said to him, listen, we're going to go the whole hog here. I'm not messing around. We're going right to the top and you're going to be in charge. And he did it.
I'm looking at Wenger's room as well. Wenger's room's been decorated specially for the occasion. There's a couple of footballs on plinths.
It's really weird,
There's a pair of little football boots, two mini World Cups, and there's a tactics board with all the dots on, and there's a little fucking mascot from one of the tournaments. I can't remember which one it is, like a lion or something. So he's got all his little stuff
there as
well.
I don't know if he dressed that special. I mean, Wenger is so sick with football fucking madness, as he confesses to in his book, that I wouldn't be surprised if that's how every room in Arsene Wenger's house is decked out.
Yeah.
It's all just got football shit everywhere. He's like Johnny Football.
Well, I'm going to watch that later on.
Yeah.
Hairfestival.com. And you watch the ants. Mm. And if we've got anything else to add, we can do that on Friday. Yeah, that's it for this one. Thanks for listening, everyone. More of the IFS stuff coming up this week.
Yeah.
Life Logistics, get your questions in if you've got anything for us. And we've got Melchester and the Twits coming up later in the week as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. I'm used to such kindness.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.